remember once counting the number of side roads that a killer could drive off to dispose of a body in an hour, and there were, you know, 100 and or more. It'd be very easy to dispose of somebody and very difficult to find them. It's a perfect place to go missing forever.
Since the 1970s, at least 18 women have gone missing or been found dead within a kilometer of this road. This is the Highway of Tears. I'm your host, Ava Dawson, and welcome back to Realistic Canada. Indigenous women make up 4% of the female population of Canada. However, according to the government statistics, they make up 16% of female homicides. Indigenous women in Canada are roughly 7 times more likely than non-Indigenous women to die at the hands of a serial killer. That's right, 7 times for a group that isn't even a tenth of the female population here. Now, missing and murdered Indigenous women is a huge topic to try and cover in one episode. That's why it will be this season's theme. Today, we are going to focus on one stretch of road in BC that has taken way too many lives. The Highway of Tears refers to a 725-kilometer-long section of Yellowhead Highway 16 from Prince Rupert, BC to Prince George, BC. RCMP acknowledged that 18 women have gone missing or died on or near the highway since 1970, but residents of BC believe the number exceeds that. What makes this even more crazy is the fact that almost all victims are Indigenous women. To start off, I believe that we should take a look at the highway itself, why it could be a good hunting ground for serial killers, and why Indigenous women could be the main target. Within this stretch of highway alone, there are 23 First Nations along the border. It is no secret that reserves can be consumed by poverty and alcoholism. Things that we take for granted, like access to vehicles, they don't always have. This is the case for many of the reserves along the highway. A lot of the times, when people need to get places, hitchhiking, as dangerous as it is one of the only options. To give you an idea of what the highway is like, it has been described as beautiful, with mountains and forests, but contrasted with brutal weather, lonely and desolate stretches where travelers may not see another person or car for hours. There are tons of logging roads that lead off the highway, and has been described as, quote, the perfect place to dump a body and have it never found, end quote. With these conditions, the easy access to Indigenous women who need a ride and the perfect place to dispose of a body, it is no wonder why it has become a serial killer's hunting ground. Spanning from 1970 until 2005, there was no task force and no real initiative to figure out what was happening to these women who had gone missing or turned up dead. In 2005, the RCMP released a task force called EPANA. Their sole job was to figure out what was happening to these women. They had named part of the task force, PANA, after the Inuit god that cared for the souls in the underworld. In order to fit the criteria of the task force, you had to meet 3 points. Number 1, you were involved in a high-risk activity that would involve you in danger. Number 2, you were last seen or your body was discovered within 1 kilometer of the highway. And number 3, you were a female. As of right now, it has just been facts and statistics and information thrown your way. So instead of just listening to that, I'm gonna give you an actual case that has happened on the Highway of Tears so that you understand the severity of this problem. In 2010, a RCMP officer working night duty was driving down the highway when all of a sudden a truck comes racing off of a logging road. Of course, he pulls the truck over for an emergency stop to see what was happening. As he approaches the vehicle, he finds a 20-year-old man with blood smeared all over the inside of his truck. When questioned, the man said he, quote, poached a deer to death with a pipe wrench, end quote. Something was obviously very wrong, so the officer held the driver on poaching charges and called in for backup and the game warden. Game wardens are also known as conservation officers. They are law enforcement officers who are primarily responsible for protecting wildlife and other natural resources. If the man had actually poached a deer to death, the game warden would have investigated and been able to charge him. Before they arrive, the officer searches his car. He finds a pipe wrench, a knife, and a girl's backpack in the back seat. He opens the bag to find a wallet identifying a girl named Lauren Leslie. He contacts her family to see if she was home and maybe just forgot her backpack in the man's car, and they say that they haven't seen her in a few hours. When the game warden arrives, he followed back the tire marks that the truck left to the back of the logging road. What he finds next isn't what he was expecting. Instead of seeing a deer that had been beaten to death, he sees a body, still warm to the touch, that had been half buried in a gravel pit. This has now become an active homicide case. Not long after the body was discovered, the father of Lauren Leslie came to the scene looking for his daughter. Although he wasn't able to see the girl, he gave the police something that helped them to identify the body. The girl had been beaten so bad to the point where they couldn't match a photo of her because she was unrecognizable. The father showed the police the matching tattoos they had to symbolize their family. They then knew that this was the body of Lauren Leslie. The driver is, of course, the number one suspect. Police began their investigation by learning about Lauren. She was a quiet and friendly 15-year-old who lived in Vanderhoof, BC. She was legally blind, but described as a really kind and sweet girl. She had friends who lived in Prince George, so it is likely that she hitchhiked there every once in a while. The driver, who the police are holding in custody, his name is Cody Legobokov. After checking Lauren's phone, they see that they had been messaging in November. As a person, he seems well-rounded. He was a country boy with a baby face and a bruiser body. He was, however, a druggie with a minor criminal record. 27 days after they had started talking, they decide to meet up at a playground. This is the last place that Lauren was seen alive. Fast forward to the trial, it is revealed that Lauren's shoes, pants, and underwear were removed. She had been sexually assaulted and suffered from mass trauma to the head and stabs to the neck, which led to her death. Now, this part may seem irrelevant for a minute, but stay with me. A mother of six had been reported missing. She was a cocaine user, a prostitute, and overall a very high-risk victim. Her body was also found half buried in a gravel pit with multiple blows to the face, arms, and torso. The mother and Lauren led very different lives, but their deaths connected them. They were able to match the DNA traces off the mother to Cody, proving that he had seen her before she died. Prosecutors were also able to match Cody's DNA to two more cases, Cynthia Moss and Natasha Montgomery. They decided to put Cody on the stand. When asked about Lauren, he claimed that she was suicidal and that she did it to herself. This, however, was physically impossible for her to do, considering the amount of trauma done. When told this, Cody's response was that he, quote, hit her a maximum of 2 times to put her out of her misery, end quote. He admitted to being there at the deaths of the others, but said that the drug dealer killed them, and he had nothing to do with it. Needless to say, Cody was found guilty on all 4 counts of first-degree murder. He has life in prison and no chance of parole for 25 years, which is the maximum amount they could have given him without parole at the time. Enough is enough. How many women need to die before this gets recognized as the problem that it is? Indigenous women are in danger, and we haven't done enough to stop it. It took over 40 years for Canada to input a bus system down this highway. Imagine how many lives could have been saved if this had happened sooner. It took too long for Canada to realize that Indigenous lives matter way more than the cost it would have been to run a bus. People need to understand what is happening. News needs to cover this more. And people need to do their research. This cannot go unknown. This cannot be swept under the rug. Thank you for tuning in this week to Realistic Canada. Next week, we'll be covering the case of one lucky survivor who gives us a perspective that you've never heard before. As always, stay safe and stay aware.